when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for hanging on. We've had the general for 30 more minutes. Well, actually 25 because we're 5 minutes into the second hour. There's so many things I would like to ask the general. I can't possibly ask him all tonight. Hopefully, God, we can get him again. He's really hard to get a hold of. He's so busy and he's stretched so many different directions. But I'm going to do the best I can to ask him the most pertinent questions. I guess I will ask the general, and I've asked this to Simon Roach when he was on. I hope I'm asking the most pertinent questions. General, like we were saying, you've seen communism up close and personal with your family, and you've seen it, what it looks like. You fought all over the world. You fought in South America. You fought in the Middle East. God only knows what places you've been. What do you see? This may be jumping around a little bit. You've been to the United States several times. What do you see in the United States, in society, and in government, in the culture here now? What does it look like in the way of? Would you think we look like we're being taken over? Is communism getting a deep foot here, a deep foothold here in the United States, General? Going by what you've seen in the past in communism, you know full well what communism looks like, General. What does a communist nation look like? And what attributes do we have here in the United States that you, in your opinion, could be considered, I'd just say, hardcore communist?
Yeah, well, I think there's a saying by an Italian politician. He said this. He was one of Mussolini's right-hand men, but he said this in 1921, I believe. He said, if a man willingly becomes a sheep, he's always going to find a wolf that's going to eat him. So if people become sheep, apathy is the new atheism. But basically, we just see a resurgence. What we're seeing is a resurgence of the most demonic, destructive force in human history, and that's Bolshevik Satanism. Only it's arriving in a new form. That's the Crypsis we spoke about earlier, that's the most destructive force in human history, which since the French Revolution has killed over 120 million people, and it still rules in China. We know where they have these camps for. If people want to see the face of horror that exists is in a total inversion of Christianity, is today's North Korea. Where the original dictator of North Korea, he changed the words of our father and inserted his name. Wow. So what communism did, it destroyed whole they called Stalin the killer of nations. So we saw physical eradication, slave-like exploitation, brainwashing, the breaking of people's spines, torture. Collectivization of a plunder of private property, the biggest pillage in human history, the terror of the secret police, where you're sleeping at night and they come in and they bust your house down, rape your wife and daughter, and haul you off, never to be seen again. So all of these crimes, and the corpses are rising up to the surface almost daily. So we must respectfully, ourselves, we must each stand up to this evil. And Christians must unite, because if we read Revelations, I think a lot of it, we I'm not saying it's the end times. Only God knows when this is going to happen. But I think if there's no catharsis, if we don't recognize the enemy, then this woke mob, these cultural Marxists, genetic anarchists, they're basically taking over the cultural landscape. We're entering a new dark age. Despite the technology, we're entering a new spiritual dark age, and we must stick together. So what we see today, we see gender dysphoria. We see young children being massacred, these sex change surgeries and stuff. It's against God and nature. So I think there's a book somewhere, it was called Tell the Truth and Shame the Devil.
Yes, sir.
And I think that people basically, we must speak the truth, stand up, because we're only not even a grain in God's eye. We're all in God's waiting room. So when we cross into the great divide, we're going to have to stand up, and he's going to ask us, when St. Peter opens the gates, what he's going to say, well, what did you do? Were you passive? Did you watch this? Is a spectator to watch the horse race? Or did you get involved? Did you forget your physical security? Because the money you have is never, there's a German saying that says this. It says, a dead man's shirt has no pockets. What did you do when you were here? You know, did you just enjoy hedonism? We live in a culture of hedonism where food, material things matter a lot. But in the long run, it means nothing. How will we be remembered? What will our legacy be? Will we stand up to evil, or will we be apathetic? Will we be like these proverbial observers until they come for us? You know, eventually, we're going to keep backing up. And we have to, like, I just a while ago, I think my brother plays that song all the time. He was mutilated and his knees were shattered. But that song he plays all the time is the Ballad of the Alamo by Marty Robbins.
Oh.
And there's in the song, it says where the commander, the Alamo garrison, draws a line in the sand.
Travis,
yeah, he says, you know, if anyone wants to leave, they can cross. Not one man crossed the line. So that has to be our tactic and our inspiration is the Alamo.
You know, General, like I say, there's 1,000 questions I'd like to ask, but right quick, and I'm going to go right back to the United States. We'll go back to the Ukraine just for one question and come back to the United States. In your opinion, now, I've been told that this Zelensky, who's the head honcho in the Ukraine, is Jewish. I've seen a picture of him where he was, somewhere, a homosexual gathering, really skimpy clothes with another homosexual. So homosexuality is a big part, you know, of communism, Judaism, Bushovism, Satanism. So by the United States supporting the United States supporting, I hope I'm doing this question right, supporting the Ukraine against Russia. I've said on this show, I hope I think I'm right, that right now probably Russia probably has the largest concentration of white Christians in the world. The United States is no longer, hasn't been a Christian nation for a long time. Probably Germany's not, France is not, England certainly not Christian anymore. Is this a fight? Is the United States being controlled? This is a rhetorical question because we have, for instance, like, I think something like 70 dual citizenship representatives in the Congress, in the Senate of the United States of America. Orthodox Jews, Jewish people, that you mentioned earlier, Marxism is Satan, is Judaism. The just chief rabbi said,
I call it Bolshevik.
Yes, sir.
Basically, Marx was a Luciferian, and a lot of these guys. There's a guy that wrote a book called in the United States. He was also one of the Chosenites. He wrote a book called For Radicals, Rules for Radicals.
Yes, sir. Saul Alinsky.
Paulowski, yeah. So he mentions Lucifer. And if people can find a documentary called The Wolf in Sheep's Clothing, it describes the whole genesis of communism and how it grew out of the French Revolution.
Yes, sir.
Like, let's say, for example, the French Revolution, entire society was wiped out overnight almost. Well, up to 200,000 people were murdered in something called the Great Terror. People know the guillotine, where that was invented, right? So
yes, sir.
That's what happened. That's what happened. All the aristocracy was murdered, killed.
General, we have to go to our one more break, and then we'll come back. We'll have you for 15 more minutes after this break, and I'm going to ask you a couple more questions. Be right back, General. Be right back, dear Blood River Radio family. Hang on to your seats.
This is Michael Hill, Chief of the League of the South. I listen to Blood River Radio, and you should too. In fact, you should be telling your friends, your family, and your associates to listen to Eddie Miller and the good folks at Blood River Radio. They stand resolutely for the preservation of white civilization, what we once called Christendom, and they stand against the ongoing campaign of white genocide. In these trying and uncertain times, it's more important than ever to speak and act in defense of our God, our people, and our civilization. Blood River Radio speaks the truth and speaks it boldly. I've been on this show many times as a guest, and I'm very proud of my association with you. May our just cause prevail. Hail victory.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
Come in the morning. Smells like victory.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I cannot believe we're crew coming down on an hour and a half with the General, but we'll bring him back again as soon as possible. I feel like I haven't asked the best questions. There's just such a vast number of them I wanted to ask. But the General's going to talk about a quote of Cicero, what happened to him. I was going to ask the General, does the face of the United States a communist face now? If it is, how can we, good Christian people, how on earth can we do spiritually and practically, if you know what I mean, defend and reverse this face of communism? But before the General gets into that, he's going back to this quote of Cicero and what happened to Cicero. So go ahead, dear General.
Well, there's nothing new under the sun. I think all this has happened before, but in a different period, because history is cyclical. Empires rise and fall, and it's always the same formula. But the Roman order during the time of the Roman Empire, Cicero, and he said this. He said when he likened Rome to a city under siege, and he said when you're on the battlements and you look outside the battlements at the enemy, you can see how many legions, maniples, cohorts he has, how many catapults, siege engines. But the enemy that's inside your walls, the one that poisons your spirit, the one that undermines your battlements in the night, the Cheer's fear and the disinformation. He said you have to fear him more than the plague. So again, the city's under siege, but we have to know who the enemy is. And Rome fell not because of the external enemy, but the internal enemy. So we see instead of training the legions, the word integrity comes from the Roman word integritas, which means legionnaires are ready to fight.
Oh.
The commanding officer, centurion, would do an inspection, and each soldier would salute, put his hand to his armor, and say integritas, which means whole, integrity. But after a certain period, this debauchery came in, orgies, all these hedonism, and the next thing they knew, the barbarians were at the gate, and Rome fell. Mind you, it took centuries, but eventually the same thing happened in Constantinople. When the Ottomans attacked, the Eastern Christian Empire fell. The siege of Constantinople in the 15th century. So we see the same thing today. The same thing that's happening today is the internal enemy, the whisperer, the liar, and who's the father of lies is Satan. And he has his cohorts here. Wokeism, gender dysphoria, cultural Marxism, genetic anarchism. So we must know the enemy to fight him.
So, you know, you mentioned something that's really hit close to my home, close to my heart. You talked about debauchery and just the pollution of the spirit of the Roman citizens, the Roman soldiers. They started, in my I'm under the impression, in the latter stages, they became so wealthy, they started hiring soldiers to do their own fighting for them. The Romans got soft. We see that we have a co-host on our program. You've talked to him before. His name is Gene Andrews. So we call him the Bitter Ender. He was a lieutenant in the Marines in Vietnam. I was a medic. But he's told me that he's gone to some reunion for some of the Marines up here at Quantico, Virginia, where there's a Marine base. And he said that predominantly the officer, the officers in the Marine Corps are still mostly white men. But he said the majority of the enlisted men in the Marines are now Hispanics from Hispanic countries, blacks. They're non-whites, and they're not even from the United States. They have no allegiance to this country here. He's saying probably they would have no qualms whatsoever on opening fire on American citizens if they told to. They wouldn't give it a second thought. So, General, that's pretty much what happened in Rome, I believe, you know, because the recruitment, if you go to, and I say one thing, I'm glad the recruitment, especially for the Marines and the Army, it's way down. All the services here in the United States are failing miserably to recruit, to make their recruiting quotas. And so they're actually putting out feelers. They're putting out ads. They're trying to get these foreigners, more and more of them, into the United States military. And all they have to do, if they sign up to do a hitch for 2-3 years, they'll grant them citizenship. They'll have no allegiance to this country whatsoever, no allegiance to white people. That's pretty much what went along in Rome. So, I'm getting ready to get back to you in just a second, General. And the reason the recruitment is down here in the United States so bad, and you just mentioned it, we have wokeism in the military. The general who just chief, he was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the 4-star Army General Milley. They were bringing in cross trainers, these transvestites, into the Army and Marine bases for entertainment. So, and there's a big hatred of white people, especially Southerners. In the United States Army, the brass, they especially hate the Southern people. And so and historically, the backbone of the military here in the United States has come from the Southern states, the very vast backbone from the minority of Southern people. So I know this is another rhetorical question. Was there any similarities to like that? Probably not in Europe, but what kind of a picture does that paint, General?
Well, listen, I was in the French Foreign Legion for years, and you had none of that there. You had your Legionary Code, which was to the Legion, basically, and he had 10 different nationalities there. And there was no wokeism or that kind of crap there. You had guys, every year you would have every Legion regiment would celebrate the Battle of Camarón, which took place in 1866 in Mexico, where 67 Legionnaires held off 2,000 Mexicans.
Damn.
And there's none of that crap there. You know, you hack it or you pack it, and you have a Legionnaire code. Never leave your wounded, and that's it to you. None of that stuff is happening there. That's a man's army still. There's none of that crap there, that the woke stuff or gender dysphoria. So it has tradition, and the Legion is still like that. And those people that want to join, they take people. I was an old warhorse when I joined. I was 35, but I hacked it, and I ended up in the Gulf War and so on and so forth. And in Croatia, 27 Legionnaires died here fighting on the border of the Holy Roman Empire, holding off the hordes. So, and I'm proud to be. I was just at a funeral of one of my war comrades. Some of them been wounded two or three times, but it's actually an exclusive club. There's not a lot of these old style Legionnaires left.
I bet not.
Just a while ago, a guy died. He was still a Legionnaire. He was a sergeant in a Legion, and he was one of the last veterans of the Dien Bien Phu that was overrun by the Vietnamese in 1954. And a lot of them were Germans. A lot of the marching songs were basically, because after the Second World War, a lot of ex-German Wehrmacht soldiers joined the Legion. So a lot of the marching songs were German songs, like Westerwald and so on and so forth.
Wow.
But America, we have 67, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, 67 million Americans have German ancestry.
At least.
So I think, yeah. At least, yeah. So, you know, but we all have to fight against all Christians, I think we have to fight against the plague of mankind, which is the communist guerrillas. Well, I think you have more Cubans in Florida than you have in Cuba. And that place is going all to hell too, because who wants to live in Cuba where you're reduced to the level of a feudal serf? I think I've never heard anybody escaping to Cuba. I think I haven't.
General, yeah, let me ask you
remember
this.
The Marianas, the boat lift when Castro emptied all his prisons and insane asylums and sent it to Florida?
Yes, sir. I remember.
Yeah.
I remember.
So, yeah.
They're doing it now in all over in Mexico and in nations of South America, releasing their prisoners from their prisons and the insane asylums and sending them here. They're coming across scot-free across the border.
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt you, Eddie, but I think that Grant Salvador is doing a good job. You see this guy, what he's doing in El Salvador? Crime is down. The crime is down to less than 5%. He's got thousands of these thugs jailed. Have a look at you. See what's happening in Salvador, El Salvador. You must see this, Eddie. I think it's excellent. But he needs some help, that guy. Because street gangs and the MS-13, the bandits, he's got him drilled. They're all stripped of their underwear, doing time in high security prisons. He's making the place livable from these terrorists.
That's the only thing they understand. Let me ask you a quick question, General, before we run out of time. You're familiar with the military. I don't know how familiar you are. I would think you're probably pretty familiar with the Russian army. What kind of how was their army as far as their morale, their physical condition, their skill? We run out of time, but how, in 10 seconds, how does the Russian army stack up?
Well, they're learning. They have lessons learned, you know, after the war in Chechnya.
General, we've run completely out of time.
Yeah.
Sorry I asked that question.
All right, well.
We'll get you back on as soon as possible.
All the best to you and the crew.
Thank you so much for coming on. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you so much, General.
Your daily Liberty Newswire.
You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm John Schaefer. Several Republican lawmakers are urging the U.S. Attorney General to contemplate invoking the 25th Amendment to oust President Biden. The amendment, previously sought by Democrats during Donald Trump's presidency, permits the removal of a president deemed incapacitated to the extent of being unable to carry out their duties. A Justice Department report issued Thursday described Biden as an elderly individual with diminishing memory faculties. The White House is resisting the findings of that Justice Department special counsel's report on President Biden's management of classified documents. White House counsel spokesman Ian Sams deemed the report's criticism of Biden's poor memory as unwarranted and unnecessary.
We just reject that this is true. And I think that it does raise questions about the gratuitousness, and it raises, you know, makes you wonder why that's in there.
Sams stated that the report lacks evidence to support these assertions. House Republicans are aiming for success with their second attempt to impeach the Secretary of Homeland Security. Their initial vote to impeach Alejandro Mayorkas for his management of the southern border fell short earlier this week. Next week, when they try again, they'll have House Majority Leader Steve Scalise, who was absent during the first vote due to treatment for blood cancer. Israel is anticipated to launch an invasion of Rafah, the largest refugee camp in Gaza for displaced Palestinians. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has instructed the military to ready for civilian evacuations in the city, which acts as the primary entry point for humanitarian aid into Gaza. A spokesperson from the U.S. State Department stated that an operation in Rafah is not something they would endorse. According to the FAA, a Boeing 737 MAX operator discovered loose bolts in the rudder control system of the aircraft. The Federal Aviation Administration received a report from an operator in December regarding a missing nut, washer, and bolt that had shifted position. This is USA News.
Every day, our brave military men and women, along with their families, make tremendous sacrifices for our freedom. Patriotic Hearts, a nonprofit organization, is dedicated to supporting these heroes and their families in their times of need. By donating your unwanted car to Patriotic Hearts, you'll be supporting job transition and job fair programs, veteran entrepreneurship, counseling, and retreats for combat veterans and their spouses. Call 800-804-7211. You'll receive a tax deduction, and we'll arrange a free pickup at your convenience. Imagine the difference you can make in the lives of those who have given so much for our country. Your car donation will directly impact military families, veterans, providing them with the support they desperately need. Call 800-804-7211. You can become a part of something bigger. Join us in our mission to uplift and honor our military community. Call 800-804-7211 to donate your unwanted car to Patriotic Hearts.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20-plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing, and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust. and who the true covenant people of God are and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these this means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the courts of divine justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for holding on. This has been kind of a hybrid show, you might say, tonight. But anyway, we've transitioned completely into a completely different crew. We have with the former Bell Cow, the Bitter Ender changed her nickname last week. She is now the Bluegrass Badass Buzzsaw. So we have the Bluegrass Badass Buzzsaw on. And we also have our baby sister, precious baby sister, the Braveheart herself, Monica Schaefer. They're coming on right now. So I'm turning this program all over to them. I've done my thing. And we're hoping that the Bitter Ender will be ready to go at 5 o'clock. So I'm shutting up. So I guess, are we taking off with you, Buzzsaw? You're a chameleon, like those Jews. You're going back to the sweet kind. You lure people in by being this sweet grandma, and then you cut their head off. But well, no, the sweet bell cow. That was that bell cow. But go ahead, bell cow.
Yeah. Well, I'll start out with Tar and Feathering, our regular weekly chore. I'm going to say we need to tar and feather the controlled media and those anti-whites like Vice President Kamala Harris, Representative Bobby Rush, and Representative Haycom Jeffries. I want to say that I think the hero of the day should be Tucker Carlson. And also, I want to bring up again Kentucky Representative Thomas Massie for being a thorn in the side of both Democrats and Republicans. Two black senators, one of them being a Republican, Tim Scott, and Cory Booker, introduced to the Senate a bill for this no good Emmett Till. It has to do with the anti-lynching bill. I mean, these people spend more time on wasted stuff. Three of the good Republicans who voted against it was Andrew Clyde of Georgia, Chip Roy of Texas, and again, my Kentucky representative, Thomas Massie. Unfortunately, it does look like this passed in the Senate. I'm not quite sure if it passed in the House. I'm not quite sure about that. This is the second week of our German History Month, and I have been looking up things that happened with reference to Germans and Germany in February. And I'll just read this one paragraph that I did find connected with February. Robert Ley, German hero, he was born February the 15th of 1890. He died October the 25th of 1945. He headed the German labor front, and he held other high positions from 1933 until 1945. Robert Ley committed suicide awaiting trial at Nuremberg. He hanged himself. This was early in the Nuremberg trials of 1945 through 1946. And here's the quote from Robert Ley. "You can torture or beat me or impale me on a stake, but I will never doubt the greatness, the greater deeds of Hitler." That was our kind of men. That was a great German. So that's, I'll go back to Monica. I have a few, just a couple other comments that things that happened in February when Monica has her place in the sun. Okay.
Oh, thanks, Nancy. Yeah. Who would do that if they didn't truly believe in the greatness of, first of all, their leader and the cause? You know, thank you for that. what you just read from Lay. I mm-hmm. forgot his first name, but
Robert Lay.
Robert Lay, thank you. I would like to start out by just segueing, commenting a little bit on the first hour and a half, Eddie, that you had with the great General Nick Glasnovic. I hope I'm saying his name correctly, because he said some. Say again, sorry.
I said you. That's as close as I can get. General Nick Glasnovic. Yes, right.
Okay. Yeah. So, and he reiterated this very important thing at the end, and I'm just going to say it again: how important it is for us to be discerning, and in being discerning, to know, to see, to recognize, to know, and name our enemy, the mm-hmm. eternal enemy of humanity, of mankind, the eternal well poisoners, those who, when we do name them, we are criminalized. There's the first clue that we are actually correct when we name them, those who criminalize us for being anti-Semitic when we name our enemy. And, you know, he brought forth examples of rabbis and others who said Judaism equals communism and communism equals Judaism. And he gave many examples of the horrendous things that were done under communism. And the tortures and the killing of millions and millions and millions. And of course, we know that the World War I and World War II, or that what they call those, World War I and World War II, those were brother wars instigated by our eternal enemy. Yeah, anyway, so I wanted to talk about that. Early on in your interview with him, Eddie, he talked about, or you mentioned about how so many of the people around you, the libtards and those who are don't have their eyes open, they think of communism as being, oh, that's a good thing. Well, I want to just tell you that when I learned about communism in grade school, probably it was junior high school, like maybe we were 12, 13, 14 years old and learning in our social studies classes about different things, and we learned about communism. And I can tell you from that at the end of the unit, I kind of had this reasonable impression about communism. I thought, oh, that sounds like a pretty good system. So that was our indoctrination in grade school. They didn't, I guess they neglected to mention the millions of murdered and the millions of tortured and all those things that happened in the name of communism and in the process of getting all this great, you know, everybody's equal stuff like Animal Farm. That's another of George Orwell's books. It's slightly less well known than 1984, but we actually studied that other book, Animal Farm, in school. And mm-hmm. in that book, maybe you're familiar with it, Nancy, you're
yeah.
chiming in.
Yeah. I did.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do remember we had a pretty good social studies teacher at that time who said, you know, this is a book that could be read on a children's level or it could be read on an adult level. And on an adult level, it actually is telling us a lot of good lessons. I think that particular teacher probably knew, you know, what it was really about. So, you know, all the animals were equal, except the pigs were more equal than the others.
And they're truly pigs.
That's right. So, Eddie, you had been looking for a word there, and it's adrenochrome or adrenochrome.
Yeah, there you go. Yes, yes.
I just made a note of that. That's the blood that of terrorized people, or I guess it's the blood of terrorized children and babies who are tortured and terrorized, and then these satanic, you know, Satan worshippers, they drink this blood. And I guess it's this drug for them that keeps them young and gives them all kinds of, you know, euphoric feelings. It's just horrendous to think about that. And, you know, I've been told that that's the currency around Hollywood. It's a currency that's worth far, far, far more than gold, is this adrenochrome.
So, I've heard the same thing.
Yeah. And then you were talking about Lucifer, and that in Russia there's a monument to Lucifer. And then I was thinking, gee, I think in our part of the world, in America, in Canada, there are many monuments to Lucifer. And well, the Denver airport came to my mind. I don't think I've been through that airport myself, but I think I've seen images of that airport, and I think it's quite satanic. Oh, and actually something else that came to mind is, well, this isn't on this side of the ocean, it's in Switzerland, but CERN, that's that big, huge underground, you know, tunnel where they're doing who knows what, but, you know, particle acceleration. I think they're trying to find the God particle or something. I don't know what they're doing, but they're right in front of their gates is, I think it's Moloch, yeah. A statue to Moloch. Well, and I do hear the music.
Quick break. Yeah. Dear Blood River Radio family, please hold on. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after a short break.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Dear Blood River Radio family, like old Clint Eastwood said, he said to ask the guy, the punk, if he feel lucky. Well, I feel lucky tonight because we got two Cracker Jack crew members here, family members. And I'm going to turn it right back over to them people. Go ahead, Sister Braveheart.
Okay, Eddie, I pretty much summed up my commentary that was with regards to your first guest. And if you like, I could do a little bit of a reading out of the book Hellstorm, because we are almost upon the anniversary, and it's just a terrible anniversary. So we don't call it celebrating, we call it memorializing this anniversary of the bombing of Dresden. And that would be probably the most well-known of the firebombing of a whole bunch of German cities. And I just want to reiterate that it wasn't only Dresden. It was any city over a certain population in Germany was bombed and firebombed, and the intention was to kill civilians. This was true. Go ahead.
Oh, I just said true. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Churchill said that he wanted to roast as many Germans as possible. He said that. Yes. That's what they wanted to do.
And specifically about Dresden, he wanted to, he says, don't tell me about, you know, military targets, this or that. Just tell me how I can roast 600,000 Germans. And that was the intention, right? So absolutely. I'll just read a little bit here. Fasching is an annual German event similar to the Latin celebration of Mardi Gras. On this particular evening of Shrove Tuesday, normally staid, reserved Teutons don outlandish costumes, join friends or complete strangers, swarm into bars, restaurants, and theaters, then partake for several hours in pointless yet harmless merrymaking. Because of the exigencies of war, however, the celebration, like most else in the devastated Reich, had been all but abandoned. Remember, this is 1945 we're talking about. In only one city did the Fasching tradition continue much in the manner it always had, and on the night of February 13th, women and children, along with the few remaining men, flooded its streets to celebrate. Dresden was truly one of the world's great cultural treasures, known as the Florence on the Elbe. The ancient showcase in the heart of Saxony was a virtual time capsule of Gothic architecture and medieval culture. At every turn on every narrow cobbled street of the old town was an ornate palace, a museum, an art gallery, or a towering centuries-old cathedral. Like Paris, Rome, and Venice, Dresden was both beautiful, romantic, and enduring. For decades, the city had been one of the must-stops for continental travelers, especially those from Britain and America. Welcome as it was, the fact that a city the size of Dresden had survived when all else was destroyed mystified some residents and troubled others. Since only two tiny daylight raids had occurred during 5 years of war, many assumed Dresden's salvation was due to its reputation as an art city, that as a priceless, irreplaceable gem of Western culture, even the terror bombers lacked hatred sufficient to efface such beauty. Others surmised that since Dresden had almost no heavy industry, and what little it did have had no bearing on the war, the enemy simply did not deem the city a viable target. When skeptics pointed out that many other beautiful German towns with little or no industry had been systematically obliterated, rumors invented new reasons for Dresden's miraculous survivor. One belief, embraced by many, stated that an aunt of Churchill's lived in Dresden. Another hinted that the town was spared because of huge American investments. The fact that Dresden had become a hospital city with numerous medical facilities seemed a rational explanation to others. To some, the 26,000 Allied POWs interred in the town appeared a more logical answer. Among many Dresdeners, however, perhaps the greatest explanation as to why their city lived when all else died was that undoubtedly a spark of mercy yet burned in the hearts of British and American flyers. Of all the many names it was known by, nothing better described Dresden in February 1945 than Refugee City. Since the Soviet invasion in January, millions of terrified trekkers, desperate to put as much space between themselves and the Red Army as possible, had fled through Dresden in trains, cars, wagons, or afoot. Hundreds of thousands more, though, injured, wounded, starving, or simply separated from their families, washed up in Dresden like castaways on an island. At the main train station, a city within a city had sprang up, wherein thousands of people, many of them lost or orphaned children, lived in semi-permanent existence. I could continue reading here, but this gives you a little bit of a backdrop for what was going on in Dresden. So this is really interesting about the fact that Dresden was spared when everything else in Germany by that time had been so devastated, so destroyed. And so a lot of the Dresdeners were feeling a little uneasy and yet, you know, like I just read, making explanations for it, why, you know, and they just couldn't believe that anybody would destroy something so beautiful. And that's honestly what many of them thought. It was just so beautiful and so valuable as Western treasure. that nobody would destroy that. And then what happened on the night of, it began on February 13th, and when everybody was out partying, and they came with their firebombers. And if you'd like to chime in now, I'm just commenting now, and if one of you would like to, you know, comment about what happened there, go right ahead and jump in. Otherwise, I'll carry on and tell the story.
I've got plenty of comments, but I'd like to defer to Sister Nancy. Go ahead, Sister Nancy.
Well, if you've got the information there, of course, I would say, can you know, carry on with what you've got. I think what you explained to the listeners made it very clear of the condition of the city before the firebombing by the British and the Americans.
Okay, yes, I'll just jump ahead, and I'm just to remind people, I'm reading out of this book, Hellstorm, by Thomas Goodrich. And Thomas Goodrich has been a guest on Blood River Radio before, and we've talked about this book before. I'm going to skip ahead. I mean, there's so much to read in this book, but I'll skip ahead. So just before 10 p.m., the Dresden sirens sounded. There was no panic. Most residents simply ignored the sounds. Even had there been any public air raid shelters, few would have fled to them, for there seemed little doubt on this cold yet cheery night that, like the 171 false alarms that preceded it, this warning, too, would end in nothing. See, that's the other thing. This is me talking now. That's some kind of evil, you know, it's part of the psychological warfare, too. So did all these other false alarms happen because there were actually flights overhead? It could be. So, you know, that there were low-flying military planes flying overhead to scare the people, to frighten them. And so, of course, the alarms would go off, but then nothing ever happened. Imagine that, 171 false alarms. Like, would you be alarmed when you're out partying and having a good time with your friends and neighbors? Okay, so now I'm going to continue. Yeah, I'm going to continue reading. Instead of the all-clear siren, however, seconds later, Dresden heard another sound. Suddenly, said one startled woman, a thundering and roaring which made the whole earth tremble. An earthquake? Almost before this lady and others could guess the answer, the black sky above Dresden turned brilliant. Many spectators were dazzled by the colored lights and stared in awe. "It's getting light! It's getting light! It's bright as day outside!" shouted an incredulous friend. See, because this is at 10 p.m., this is dark. It's dark out. Weary Red Cross worker Eva Beyer had just awakened moments earlier and paid a visit to the restroom. "I saw a green light shine through the window. What was this? When I opened the door, I could see what it was. The, quote-unquote, Christmas trees were in the sky. I went to warn the other people in the building. I ran through the whole house, calling out, 'Alarm, alarm!' and waking everyone up. Another five families lived in this building, and together we totaled 11 women, 6 children, and 1 man, Kurt, the wounded ex-soldier. Then I went back to the flat and fetched the children from their beds. They started to scream because they didn't know what was happening, and there was no time to explain anything to them. We all went down into the cellar, and I put just a blanket round each child because there was no time for anything else. I myself was only in my nightgown, but I didn't even feel the cold." There are more stories like that. I should skip ahead, but I didn't have time to prepare and highlight the parts that I wanted to read. So I'll just pause here and go back to one of you.
I'd like to chime in a few minutes.
Looks like we're at the break.
You know me, I like to get to the gory details. So when we come back, I'm going to tell these people some of these gory details that were inflicted upon our white German brothers and sisters. As soon as we come back from this break. Be right back, folks.